was going to warm up, practice, and kind of pre-script in my mind what I was going to say, and I did make some notes, but then I realized, let's do it live! We're doing it live! Okay, so, this is Earth Tech, of course, hosted by me, Marcus Colosi, on behalf of Circle Studio Co. and CircleStudioCo.com. Circle Studio Co. creates engaging experiences, eliciting aha moments, illuminating inner truth, encouraging you to inspire your pure self. So thank you for tuning in. Today on the show, we are talking about, we talk about Earth Tech. We talk about the nature of technology and the technology of nature and how these things combine and how they communicate and the translation of these two aspects of the space in which we live all of our days. So the item that we're focusing on today is food as Earth Tech. We cannot deny the fact that food is a huge part of our lives. It goes into building community in terms of we form community and culture around food. It provides sustenance, and it's at this point, it's inescapable. So, how do we look at the state of what food, how food is consumed currently, especially in America, but really around the world, and how do we look at this from a progressive lens, from a metamodern lens, from an integral theory type of lens? And I'll be sharing some of my own personal experiences, and I'll be sharing a few stories that I feel are relevant in terms of just food. It's such a basic thing. It's the base of the hierarchy. It has to do with the root chakra. It has to do with feeling grounded, feeling comfortable. Food is comfort. And that's something that I personally have perhaps become a bit too addicted to, I should say. So, in keeping with my updates on how my transition is going along the lines of the mucusless diet healing system, today I unfortunately caved and ate more mucus-forming foods than I bargained on. For the past week, I was doing really great. I was eating a lot of kale and raisins. I had some baked sweet potato. I tried the baked sweet potato yesterday. That was great. It's a very, like, minimal mucus forming. And this morning, I had to work early, which I normally don't have to work in the morning. And not being able to start my day off with an enema really got to me. And we have so much food at work, which I'm working on transitioning out of the coffee shop where I'm at. But we have so much food that's... it tastes really good. It's very temptational. It's very tempting. And I caved today. And it's funny because it resulted in me being very creative and actually expressing some pent-up creativity that I've had. Because what happens when you get into the quickening state by eating only mucusless food, it's called a quickening state for a reason. You feel like you're being propelled forward into something, and you feel like you don't have time to stop and do anything. And it was time for me to kind of take a step back. And I had experimented a little bit with some mildly mucus-forming foods like quinoa and cashews. And after I had the sweet potato yesterday, today, I just had some bread. I had some bread and I had some beans. So, and this isn't to be like, this is just where I'm at. I'm just being 100% all the way real with you people so we can have more node points on how this transition thing happens. Especially considering if you look at Professor Spira or if you look at Brother Air and you look at if they were documenting in vlog form or some type of recording the actual experience while they were actually in it, that would be incredibly valuable to people now, 10, 30 years later. And the work that I'm doing here is for the people that are going to be introduced to the Migosless diet 20 years from now, 40 years from now, 60 years from now, because as we know, there is a group of us that see this as the direction, because we know where the pus and mucus society leads us. So how do we come back to earth, back to reality? Using food. So I have a quick story about my study abroad in Florence, Italy. So I was with some people, and I ended up becoming good friends with these two girls that met a couple of Italian guys while they were there, and they were hanging out. They were basically dating for the duration of our abroad, which was for 1 month, so, you know, we don't need to get sidetracked into love and what is relationships and whatnot, although relationships will be a topic that will be discussed, so stay tuned for that. But he was wearing a shirt. This is just a funny anecdote, because American media is so pervasive all over the world. We don't realize. And even recently, I've become to realize how powerful the media industry, engine, spellcasting ideology is, and how it even motivated me to study film and television in school. And it has taught me much about the medium and the art form. And I really think that this technology can be used for the benefaction of the greatest good, absolutely, which is part of why I'm choosing to focus on audio to distill my message in this form. But nonetheless, I digress. So he was wearing, I don't know why I'm talking around this. He was wearing a shirt, and he didn't know what it said because it was in American and he didn't speak English. But it had a picture of a burger on it, and it said, "You are what you eat." And then, like, my friend was telling me about how she was trying to explain to him what his shirt said, but she didn't speak Italian. Somehow, again, like, they were dating for a month, and they could barely communicate. And she was, like, kind of charading, like, "You," pointing at him, "are what you eat," and she's, like, bringing her hands to her mouth, and she's, like, trying to just, it's hilarious, because he knew there was a burger on it, but she's basically trying to tell him, "You are a burger," or "Your shirt says that you're a burger." Anyways, I just thought that was pretty hilarious. So, let's bring in a few perspectives here, because it's important for us to realize that a perspective is kind of like it's like a tool, it's like a lens, it's like a blade, it's singular. A perspective is individual. It is one of the reasons why I have chosen the circle image, symbol, sigil, energy sigil, for my company, for this brand, is because the circle represents an infinite number of perspectives that are all equidistant from the source. So I like to imagine all of creation as being equidistant from the source with its own unique perspective. So let's take some contrasting opinions. According to the Mucusless Diet Healing System, the purpose of food is solely to remove obstruction from the body. So it's not even really sustenance, which is something that we grow up thinking because we're taught it and because it feels that way, because we eat and we feel better. And in the school of the Mucusless Diet Healing System, food is stimulation, so it's essentially a drug. And if you look at, like, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, why is it the same category? Because it's really the same thing. The difference between food and drugs is a technicality. We call food something that has less dramatic effects that we put in our body. So where bread is food, according to the FDA, a pill of modafinil is a drug. even though you're putting form and substance in your body in the same way. So yeah, using fruit sugars, which break down mucus in the body, we're able to slowly but surely cleanse. People that are on the transition diet know that you can use green leafy vegetables and vegetables in general in combinations with the fruit, sequencing them throughout your day to sweep physiologically your intestinal system, your digestive system. You sweep this with the foods. You use the fruit and the juice to break down buildup of the body. Another perspective of food is pleasureful. Food gives us stimulation. I guess this might be a very similar perspective, but it gives us a jug. It gives us a good feeling. It gives us an endorphin rush. In terms of intimacy, like you can be so intimate with someone that you're talking to or you're with or you're dating or you're friends with or you're related to, but the food level of intimacy is the food literally becomes you, turns into you. It turns into you. It becomes incorporated into your being, into your essence. So that's why it's so important for us to at least have these conversations and discuss the level of, hey, we are what we eat. That's one thing. People don't really internalize it. I tell people that and they laugh and they're like, haha, yeah, you are what you eat. And I think deep down, we all realize that we are what we eat and we just don't necessarily want to admit it. But let's take as a given that we are what we eat. What do we want to eat? And what do we want to be? And what do we eat to be what we want to be? Do we want to be bees and do we want to eat bees? Or do we want to eat honey? Because I'm down for the honey thing because I'm all about pouring out that molten honey, shaping the sacred land. I don't know how random I can be on this, because I really want to incorporate things that I just find really fun and amusing, like mentioning that Virgo season just ended today. It's ending today. It's the last day of Virgo. We're coming into Libra. It's the autumn equinox. It's all about letting go and releasing and coming out of the development of self into the development of interaction and relationships with others. And I have 5 placements in Virgo, so that's why I'm talking about food on this podcast, because this is my dharma. Speaking of dharma, okay, let's get to another perspective of food. Food can be very grounding and just bring you back to earth. So even in my personal experience just now, I was in the quickening state and I was getting you start getting launched. People that have done cleanses and fasts understand what I'm talking about, but you get kind of, I'm making an upward swimming wave motion with my arms. You just get, you're chilling down here, and then it's just like, da, 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 and then it starts picking up, and then you get, it's a higher frequency vibration, and you're just like, starts going faster and faster and faster, and then you start losing touch with reality when you don't transition slowly enough, which is, again, I'm finding that balance through oscillation of extremes into the speed of the pace of transition that I should be at, because I keep pushing myself too hard, but then I keep relapsing. So anyways, back to Buddha and Dharma and whatnot. So the Buddha, the story of his enlightenment is he spent months, I believe, the Buddha, the awakened one, he spent months fasting, practicing ascetic principles, abstaining from pleasure, from releasing attachment to desires. He did this for a very, very long time. And eventually, he's sitting under a tree, And a servant girl offers him, I believe, like, some goat milk with honey or some other ungodly, just indulgent, delectable delight. And upon consuming this food, he reaches samadhi, peace and knowingness, just due to the superb relaxative state that he finds himself in after consuming this food. And it's interesting as we try and find a balance for this, because as more people become aware of the mucusless diet healing system, and as more people start to go in this direction, we also realize that we don't have to go all the way, or we don't have to become breatharian necessarily, especially where we are right now, because we're so entrenched in the food right now. A lot of us really are pushing, and we're getting to those levels. We're getting deep in the fasting. We're getting deep in the spirituality, the awareness, the meditation, the dreams, the higher dimensional realities, all that stuff. But there's also the people that probably, they start transitioning, and they realize, and I've been in this place myself multiple times, to where I'm like, is it really worth it? Like, I could just keep my body balanced, quote unquote, and cleanse it, do the enemas, and eat the mucus in moderation, and just practice the moderation principle, which kind of taps into the school of Ayurveda, which doesn't even necessarily care if you're eating meat, if you're eating pus and dairy and mucus forming foods, as long as it's in moderation, as long as you're balancing your doshas in your body. So as we take this anecdote from the Buddha, to where he finds the enlightenment in realizing that the Maya, the illusion, and the Nirvana, which is the paradise, are the same reality here and now, all the time, always, forever, we realize that we create the world we want to live in directly by how we create our body, which is by being what we eat, which is by discerning what we consume. So this is not me saying you need to eat this or blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm really just interested in discussing the idea because it's fascinating. And if you look at the culture of food science and basically, like, how we got into processing food and how addictive we've become to processed food, essentially it really started out, I was looking into this earlier, it started out with food preservation. So it started out with being, how do we find ways of preserving food for longer, getting into canning, getting into the fermentation, getting into, like, how can we preserve wine? That was a big driving force of that. And now it's become, how radical of an experience can we program into this food? And when I say program, I literally mean program. Yep, we feel that truth coming up. Y'all need to look into nanofibers, look into genetically modified organisms, look into chemtrails and how that combines with it. Look into how cell phone towers interact with nanofibers in the human body as an interface programming system. Oh, oh, you thought this was a joke? Oh no, we're getting real. We're getting all the way real. We're getting all the way real. But okay, so we have this, okay, there's such a thing as universal / natural law. And basically what it is, you cannot have a behavior without having a consequence of that behavior. You cannot have an action without having a consequence of that action. Basically, you can't escape karma, putting it in somewhat more colloquial terms. There cannot be an action without a reaction. There cannot be there's no effect without a cause. Every action results in the consequences. This is such a basic thing. So, okay, when we have all of this hyper-processed food, we begin to symbiotically adapt toward that lifestyle. So we have gotten to the point now to where we expect, I want to tell you what I want to eat, and 1 minute later, I want it piping hot in my hand and to be in, biting into it. And that is such a detachment from, if you think about, again, using nature as a guide, recognizing that food is a technology of nature, how we naturally consume things is plants grow the food for months, weeks at least, and then you harvest it, you go out there and you pick it off the tree, and yeah, okay, so you get the instant gratification of picking an apple off a tree and biting into it, which is really satisfying and beautiful. But you also get the having to pick all of the lettuce, kale out of the ground, harvest it, wash it, purify it. Same with many other fruits. I mean, like if you're preparing a meal, then you basically you invest the time in the meal, you invest the time in appreciating. People say thanks, they say grace. Like that's what this is. It's like spiritually channeling in gratitude, spiritually connecting with the food and appreciating it on the spiritual level and the mental visual level before you indulge in the physical. And right now we've become so three-dimensional and so stuck to where everything has to be no. So we are what we eat. So what are the values? That's my question. What are the values that they talk about? Let's pull up Bon Iver. Be patient. Be kind. Be balanced. Be fine. And if all your love is wasted, then who the hell was I? I'm breaking at the bridges. And at the end of all your life. Anyways, I can think of several things that are patient, fine, balanced, and kind. And the most prevalent one that comes to mind is the plant world, which Terence McKenna refers to as the real distinction between the yin and yang, whereas the animals are the yang masculine and the plant enveloping ether of the earth, the plant life, the biosphere is the yin, the extension of the earth. So we think we all appreciate patience. We appreciate when those around us are patient with us, that give us chances, that give us multiple iterations to understand and to change and to grow slowly but surely. And I don't know if y'all have connected with trees by climbing them, by walking through the forest, by breathing in the richness of the oxygen that they produce, but they're magnificent. They filter the sun into energy that gives them the wherewithal to grow. They draw minerals and resources and water from the earth through their roots. We don't see how deep their root systems go and how much it takes to hold up a tree that's, say, a 20-foot tall tree. How deep do you think the roots are going down? So as we connect with the truth that is purity, that is patience, that is time, there's 900-year-old trees, there's fields of flowers that, I mean, they die and they re-up with the seasons, but they carry on for generations, as humans do. So the question is, what do we want? We have to figure out what we want, and how can we achieve that through food? And just to throw out some ideas, don't we want to be pure? Don't we want to be compassionate, loving, sharing, happy, together? And not to say that we need this all the time, but it seems so natural. It seems so natural to just... It's more of a warm culture, tropical type of thing. Like the... Is it Ohana? Ohana means family. Togetherness. Togetherness. And I have, if you're interested in getting deep on this, I have a video posted on the Circle Studio Co. subreddit. So go to reddit.com/rcirclestudioco And there's a video, if you scroll down a little bit, there's not that many on there, but there's a TED Talk where Jonathan someone, forgot his name, talks about the ecstasy of self-transcendence and how war is one of the ways that we transcend ourselves in the most visceral ways. But then he gets into the evolutionary advantage of cooperation, and it's really fascinating. Check it out. Basically, once self-reliant beings unify, they become far more sustainable and powerful and resourceful than the individual selfish beings that are self-reliant as well, but they don't have a community group. So I think several things are interesting. First, I think it's interesting that we have the technology to, and the information to purify the world through food, yet, due to our own fixations and attachment to our own addictions, transitioning is slow, which is fine. I know, I'm here. I'm down in the trenches with the people battling my own physiology. This is so real. People don't realize. With y'all realize. but, okay, so I want to tell another story that I found. There is a story of an ant and a cicada. And an ant works hard all summer and fall, storing up food for the winter. And the cicada chooses to fly and buzz around and watch the ant. And this is the typical artist archetype. And the ant is the typical business, hardworking archetype. And once winter comes, the cicada has no food, and they're like, hey, ant, can you please give me some food? Because I was just flying around all fall, and I just didn't think about this and how I was going to need food, and there wouldn't be any. And then there are multiple versions of the story. One version, the ant says, no, you were watching me this whole time. You could have helped. And I think that is the typical kind of Western model where we're at, to where it's like, we need to work hard. We need to feel like we're doing something. We need to feel strained. And as we shift into this new paradigm, as we shift into the new energy, as we shift into the new age, dare I say, at risk of sounding trite, there is a sense of innocence and purity in the cicada choosing to live entirely in the moment, and there's a hidden wisdom in the recognition that we do not need food to survive. The human body is an air and gas engine. This is something that the mucusless diet healing system by Professor Arnold Arrett, annotated and revised by Professor Spira. This is just real. They're not paying me to say this. Like, this is just real. In the book, he talks about the human body is an air and gas engine. We are naturally breatharian, fruitarian beings. If you look at the way that human mouths are, and human jaws are even getting smaller. I heard someone say that's not confirmed. But to me, it makes sense. I mean, I think human mouths are probably smaller than they were 500 to 1,000 years ago. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But our teeth were not designed to eat raw flesh. That's for sure. Our teeth were designed to eat fruit, basically, to help clear any obstruction or pollution or toxification in the body. Yeah, I'm gonna rope in another perspective, which is minimalism. The minimalism movement is making huge bounds in recognizing, especially in America, we don't need so much stuff, and things are not the answer to our problems. The consumerism thing, the entitlement thing, we don't need it. We don't need stuff. We don't need status. We don't need all this stuff that is being sold to us because it makes people money. we don't need it. We're being used as energy sources. So we're being convinced that we need to work to make money to have whatever it is, to have this latest car, to have this latest fashion, to have this latest whatever, whereas our actual needs are very simple. And yes, we do need food. I'm not saying we don't need food at this point right now. But what we need is pure food. We need pure food. We need permaculture. We need growing sustainably. The same way that, like, we need cars too at this point. We need sustainable energy cars, and we need pure cars with no pollution emissions that are powered by the sun, wind, renewable energy sources. This is stuff that we talk about in elementary school. At least at my school, we talked about this. So, again, we understand transition takes time. And the true alchemical secret is by changing ourselves, we change the world. So I'm going to cut this off there. I'm going to share some poetry with you all as well. Perhaps I can find a poem right now. All right. I hope you guys are ready for this because I'm ready for this. My bike is taking the bus from ballet to work, an orange roll of quarters obscuring certain perks. Easter Island tissue, ignoring surveillance issue, conversing on Machu Picchu, swimming for an igloo. Rip through focus and create new, pattern set to bleed, all the life from exploding cocoons, hacking stem cells of coconuts, grow a shell, 100 shoulders clutch, and release from the first, second, nose, leads to fifth. Relevé, a bystanding tray, complete with a chipped depression glass. I served you your bread today. I found some sympathy. Purple bow hair correlates the fray. Okay, hydrate with the news of fires, smelling forest land acquired through magic law designed to steal. Drums syncopate with sacred eels and resonate with ancient meals. Quinoa fluffed, topped with the inside of banana peel. Thank you so much for listening. I cannot begin to thank you enough. You are a beautiful soul, beloved. I hope you have an absolutely beautiful rest of your day. I hope you stay inspired. I hope you transition to where you want to be. I hope you embrace your pure self. And namaste. This is Marcus Colosi with Circle Studio Co. signing off. Is more pure and true than music. Thank you. dazzling sunlight. Pressing through the trees, through the leaves. Circles of quartz on the ground. Have nothing to say. Breathe with me. If you're inside, open a window. Or if you can go outside, that's where the real stuff is. And a message for the people. How do you celebrate life? How do you honor and respect all of nature in celebration? Where do you dance? Where do you sing? Where do you smile? Where do you laugh? Where do you play music? Where do you run? What makes you joyful? What makes you understand? Understand, overstand. Thank you.
know, because people always look better in the sun. People always look better in the sun. And I can see in the back of your eyes that I'll have to choose another time to say what's on my mind. I'll have to choose another time to say that people always look better in the sun. People always look better in the sun. Doesn't matter, he's ugly anyway. But today was a sunny day. Thought it doesn't matter, he's ugly anyway. But today crossed his way.
What do you dream? When you sleep, do you dream of this reality of your waking life? Do you dream of higher dimensions, lower dimensions, interdimensions? Do you dream of places and experiences that only you understand? Only you have experienced. How do you practice dreaming? Dreaming during the day. Tapping into creativity and imagination, your creative power. How do you do it? I am the creator of my own dreams. And I achieve them with confidence. How do you frolic? With your arms up. Reaching for the fireflies. Stirring the swirl in between, the swirl of air. Swirling the etheric energy across your mind. Thank you for listening. Embrace your pure self.